Welcome to 21st Century Disability, the show that analyzes how the modern world is changing the way society sees disability. I am your host, Hollis Pierce. Hop in, let's go for a ride. Before we begin, we want to remind you of how much your listens and follows mean to us here at 21st Century Disability. Therefore, we have begun to ask questions for you guys who are listening to this podcast on Spotify to answer. They are not complex questions, and oftentimes will only be yes or no answers. For those of you listening on other streaming platforms, do not be concerned. We will have similar opportunities in the near future. All of this is for the purpose of getting closer to you, the listener. We want your feedback. Now, on to the show. Identity is an awkward subject when we speak about it and its relation to disability. For instance, identity and culture often end up being mushed up together into a confusing-looking cloud. In addition, there have been many different academic arguments regarding disability and identity. The arguments mainly center themselves around language. What is meant by this is academics have often argued whether or not it is best to say a person with a disability or a disabled person. Most non-academics have most often chosen to say person with a disability simply to be less offensive. Already, you can understand that the topic of disability and identity will not be able to be completely defined by a single podcast episode. This is a subject that we will have to come back to on a number of occasions, whether or not that specific episode is focused on identity. So, for the sake of this episode, we will focus on my perspective of disability and identity as it relates to the person identifying with the fact that they have a disability and whether or not they think that their disability is a part of who it is that they are. Let us begin. Who am I? That is a question that I have had circling in my head on a number of occasions throughout my lifetime. The first time, like everybody else, came during childhood. When you are a person with a disability, or a member of any other minority, I would imagine, this question is a difficult one. For instance, by the age of 2, I knew that I was a boy, but I had no idea what that meant apart from that I was not a girl. In addition, I had no idea that gender was a completely different concept than sexuality. I would not know anything about sex or sexuality until my teens, like any other kid. I also knew that I was an Edmonton Oilers fan, but I could not imagine being a Calgary Flames fan. I also knew that I was unable to walk, but I did not know why. I would not be able to conceptualize the idea of disability until a short while later in my childhood. So when was it that I knew that I was disabled? Was it when I went to the hospital to meet my doctors? No. For one thing, at that age, I was just like any other kid and could not differentiate between one doctor from another. A doctor was a doctor. Plus, when you are super young, you cannot understand what it is that your doctors are discussing with you and your parents. After all, that is why your parents take you to such appointments. You are not old enough to be responsible for taking in and understanding all of that medical jargon. No, it was none of those things. I knew that I, myself, was disabled when I was 10 or 11. It was within these 2 years that two major events took place. First, I went to an Easter Seals camp in Alberta called Camp Horizon. The second was that I started to play power hockey. For those of you who do not know what an Easter Seals camp is, they are a registered charity that, according to their website, provides services that foster inclusion, independence, and recreation for individuals with disabilities and medical conditions. In other words, they are a camp where kids with disabilities go to experience things that they would not have a chance to experience otherwise. For instance, when I went to Camp Horizon, I climbed a 50-foot rock climbing wall. That camp demonstrated to me that I was capable of astonishing things. I just needed the support of others to accomplish those goals. For example, while I did climb the wall, I was strapped to a camp counselor who helped me lift my arms and legs to the rock. I did not know this at the time, but the process of climbing that wall using the help from others is the perfect analogy for my life. Those counselors were amazing people who were so supportive and encouraging that they made me feel that by climbing that wall, I could accomplish anything. It was also at Camp Horizon that I met two friends of mine during my childhood. They were the ones who introduced me to power hockey. When they first met me at camp, they knew that I would love to play hockey. Boy, were they right. I first met these two friends of mine when I was 11 years old, when I last lived in Alberta. The two of them told me about this hockey league that they played at that was operated by the Calgary Children's Hospital. Yes, I know, playing hockey in Calgary in the 90s as an Edmonton Oilers fan was brutal. At the time, their minimum age to join was 12. Fortunately for me, though, they were short on players, so they let me join at the age of 11. I had a blast that year. And the best of all, my team won the championship. During this year in particular, I noticed that I was understanding more and more that I was disabled. I slowly knew this more and more because while we were playing hockey, we had additional regulations that accommodated to players' needs. For instance, in power hockey, players are ranked on a scale from 1 to 3. Players that possess a ranking of 1 are capable of holding their stick in their hand and can manipulate the ball using their own upper body strength. Players with a ranking of 2 can still hold their stick in their hand, but they need the momentum of their chair to help them manipulate the ball. Players with a ranking of 3 need to have their sticks attached to their chair and have a perpendicular bar going through the blade of their stick so that they can go forward and carry the ball with them. In the end, it was these two things that taught me that I had a disability, but I could still do great things despite this fact. In a very short time, I learned that I could climb a wall, but I just needed some help getting there. And I learned that I could play hockey. But did this mean that I identified as a disabled person? In my opinion, yes. When I started to play in that hockey league, I knew that I was a person with a disability. But what did that mean? It was not until later that I discovered that there was a difference between identifying as being a disabled person and identifying as being a person with a disability. What is the difference, though? According to an article written in the Canadian Journal of Disability Studies by Gillian Parekh and Robert S. Brown, the linguistic choice is highly personal. Often, self-identification is brought out upon by community involvement and therefore brings about leadership in activism. But to others, self-identification is felt to be the creation of yet another barrier to overcome on a day-to-day basis. This can also, according to Parekh and Brown, because when self-identification occurs via the institutional and medical world. To a certain extent, one could argue that my identification was brought about in the medical world as well. After all, as you have heard through previous episodes, I did sit through a number of days in the hospital waiting rooms with one or both of my parents. That being said, though, despite all of those facts, I personally do not find that self-identifying as a disabled person creates a barrier that I have had to overcome. Unlike many of the people that I have interacted with in the disabled community, though, I do prefer to call myself a disabled person. Many of my friends argue that the person-first narrative is better. They tell me that this is because they do not want to be defined by their disability. They are a person. Therefore, they define themselves as a person with a disability. My perspective of this, though, is different. I feel as though that the person-first narrative puts a negative spin on things. I always prefer identifying myself as a disabled person. My explanation of that is that I am disabled by society. In the end, it tells me that I do not have a disability. I am disabled by another entity. Once again, though, self-identification is a very personal thing. As stated earlier, disability and identity cannot be completely covered in a single episode. It is a subject that will need to be discussed many times from many different angles. For now, though, I hope that you have a better idea of where it is that I stand or sit on the topic. 21st Century Disability is a presentation of Thrive Productions. At Thrive Productions, we believe if you are alive, you can thrive. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a like and subscribe. This episode was written by myself, Hollis Pierce, and edited by Sandy Barron. Digital editing and production was done by Michael Dixon. Original music was composed by Sandy Barron. If you like this episode, please let us know by email. You can email me at hollis.pierce@me.com or the show directly at 21centurydisability@gmail.com. You can also email me if you have any suggested topics for future episodes or if you have any questions or comments for me. You can also follow us on Instagram at 21stc.d or on X at 21st_D. Thanks for listening.